Bears Roundtable is powered by Xfinity.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. And this week, Chicago Bears Roundtable. Bears hit the bye week after a disappointing and frustrating loss, I'm sure indeed. Maybe some of these guys are pretty angry about it, too, in overtime to the Detroit Lions up at Ford Field on Sunday. Pleased to be joined, as always, by my broadcast partner, Tom Thayer, from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WVBM, the senior writer for ChicagoBears.com, Larry Mayer. And then the interceptor has arrived. Nathan Vasher, a former Chicago Bear. They loved him. We love him. Glad you're still around and glad to join us here today. But I have one lasting image as we kick off this roundtable discussion. And I'm sure it's one that you remember. And you can pop it on any time on NFL Films. It's the Super Bowl in Miami, end of the game. And there's Nathan Vasher standing in the corner of the end zone just watching the festivities with the Indianapolis Colts celebrating with all the confetti and all that went with it. Yeah. And I believe you were mic'd up or you said something about, we'll be back. Yeah. Something to that effect.
Yeah, I was there with Charles Tillman. And right before we got ready to go inside, I was like, let's stay out and hang out and see how these guys celebrate and how the confetti and stuff like that comes down, because no doubt that we'll have a chance to come back. We're a young team. We'll be back.
And that was your third year in the league, and it didn't happen. And that's probably the frustrating thing for NFL players who invest their lives into trying to get there, and there's no guarantee.
Your third year in the league, my first year in the league. When we went to the Super Bowl, youngest team in the league, you think, boy, you're going to be back. But it kind of makes you respect football a little bit more that you're out of it, and how hard of a journey it is to get there once, to get into the second level of the playoffs, to even sniff the back end of a Super Bowl. So it was a great experience regardless of what happened.
Yeah, it was great. And, I mean, you grow up wanting to play in that game. And the longer you play in the NFL and different teams, nothing ever stays the same. The players never stay the same. The coaches never stay the same. And every year, different teams have a chance to take it all the way. So, you got to just keep fighting, and that's the one thing that guys really want is that Super Bowl win.
I thought it was down after the game on Sunday. Now we're talking about the Super Bowl loss. We need to get this more uplifted. I wanted to ask Nathan about the one play that he's really known for, and you guys know where I'm going with this. The field goal return, the missed field goal return for a touchdown. Tell me about that, and give us something that we don't know about. How did it lead to? What set it up? What did Dave Tobe tell you before you went on the field?
Well, I think we knew that it was going to be a windy day that day, and we practiced on it maybe once or twice during walkthrough, like on Friday, early Saturday. And, he was just saying, if you have the opportunity to bring it out, I was usually the left corner on field goal block. He was like, just go back, and you can bring it down. We're going to bring it towards our sideline. And, I guess if you can watch the tape, it didn't exactly go like that. But it was a great team play from all the guys throwing all those great blocks.
You know, and that was Urlacher the only way I got at in. The end of that play.
Yeah.
The last five or six steps, all you guys are so exhausted. And I think his exhaustion led him into falling into a block at the end of the run. But it's that. You see the future Hall of Famers running in front of you and want to contribute to the overall success of the play. And that was the great thing about the team at that time, is what a close defensive group you guys were.
Yeah, just as a total team. I mean, everybody pretty much hung out with each other. And it was just one of those weird things. Like, whether it's on the field or off the field, we always spend time together. And I think it really translated on the field.
There's a word for that. They call it chemistry.
That's
it. You guys definitely had it. That was I always call it the 108er. The 108er, Nathan Vasher, in that year. And, you had 13 of your 20 career picks in those first 2 years in the league. You know, and you were one of Lovey's guys. You came in at the same time.
Yeah. He gave me an opportunity to live out my dream. And that's one thing that I've always wanted to get a chance to tell the McCaskey family and, Lovey. Throughout my time here, it was a blast. And I'm the biggest Bears fan right now, and I get a chance to watch these guys and see how they fight and continue to compete every week. And, it's a great feeling.
Everybody knows you as the Interceptor, but you had a nickname before that. And I want to ask you how you got that. Because basically what I heard was that they called you ESPN3 because you needed your own channel for all your highlights. Is that how it came about?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. It's just once you start getting a lot of interceptions and making plays, people just start, making things up. So, going back, when I was there at Texas, we had an unbelievable team with a lot of NFL-ready type guys. So I always think that the transition from, college to the NFL wasn't as steep for me, I feel like, at that time, just because we had a lot of talent and played with a lot of confidence, and it was definitely a great time for me.
You know, we talk about the dream of playing in the NFL, but then you go back to school, and we all have a goal of finishing school. It was a proud moment to me, and so you went back to Texas and finished up after things were over.
Yeah.
Was that harder after you been around a pro football game, or was it an easier thing to do and go and finish school?
To me, it was a breath of fresh air, like to be able to go there, and it was important to my family, it was important for my wife to be able to go through the process of going back to the University of Texas. I moved there for a whole calendar year and, you know, finished up my degree. I got my bachelor's in science and applied learning development. And got the coaching bug while I was there also. And I had a chance to coach there with Mack Brown and his staff and, you know, work with the defensive backs and show those guys that, you know, I've had an opportunity to be where they want to be, you know. And it was really good learning football from the bottom up.
I think all of us, Tom, well, maybe not Larry, but if we went back to college, I think at this age or, you know, your age, because we're a lot older than you, I think we'd be better students. We'd have a greater appreciation for the subjects and what we're trying to learn, and you wouldn't have the distractions of being a young kid, and certainly the activity of being also a college athlete and trying to balance that.
I mean, it's a full-time job. Yeah, it is a full-time job for those guys, the way that they have a full class load. Then they have to travel, and just the demands of playing big-time football at a university like that, it's something to be commended for those guys. But, you know, I went back and killed it and made all A's and B's and did a great job.
But then it brought you went into the coaching program in the NFL, and he spent the summer with San Francisco.
Yeah, that was a great opportunity for me to do that also.
That was this past summer?
Yeah, I spent the last 3 months there throughout training camp and working with the San Francisco 49ers there. And the NFL provides the NFL Bill Walsh fellowship internship for, you know, aspiring coaches to get into the business. And Mike Tomlin, Lovie Smith, Coach Rivera, a lot of those coaches went through the same ranks to be able to start their coaching journey. So it was a great experience.
Did you complain at the end of the day, like all coaches do, about how overworked they are in training camp? And you brought that same complaint to the players, even though it's so close removed?
I saw these coaches work unbelievable hours. And I would have to say that, you know, just coaches in the business, they work harder than anybody I've ever seen. And to be a part of that, you know, was great because I had a chance to learn football from the bottom up. I mean, I put together my fair share of playbooks and, you know, made my share of coffees and you know, and did all the things, you know, shag balls. I pretty much did everything with the ball boys and had a chance to basically help out the team as much as I could.
Do you want to take it a step further then? Do you want to keep going?
Oh, definitely.
Do you clearly have the bug? Because a lot of players say, you know, I want to coach. But once they get into it, some of them just, man, this is a lot of hours.
Exactly, yeah. But it's one of those things you can sit in and watch tape. And if you enjoy being around the guys, being on the grind when it comes to that, but it's the common goal of being able to win a championship. And that's the one thing that you want to do, and that's the one thing that coaches all have in common.
When you were a player, did you envision going into coaching, or is that just something that's changed?
I think as a player, especially when I got a little bit older, I really appreciated the time and the effort that went into game planning and to be able to play that chess match of football, to be able to watch your guys go out and perform a certain technique, a certain play, you know, that you've worked on all week, and then to see it come out in, you know, into the game, it's an amazing feeling. So it's really good.
One thing, you know, you look at Nathan Vasher, he certainly has not shied away from going into the gym. Do you see the pipes in this guy? They're busting out of the suit, Tom.
Right.
I mean,
actually, Clyde Emmerich and I were sitting upstairs this morning talking about Vash, and it was like one off season he came back, and it was like, oh, my God, who is this guy? You know, you go and reintroduce yourself to him, and it's Vash, and it's finally you got a DB that wanted to show his guns.
They've blown up even more, so you're taking care of yourself. And, you know, Tom always felt, and I always, you know, we have a lot of time spent together in this portion of the year, obviously, and all the plane trips we've taken, sitting next to each other on the team flights. You know, he was always big on athletes, post-NFL career, getting back in the gym, you know, building up that armor again to cushion the joints that have taken a pounding over the course of your playing days from when you were little kids through college and then long NFL careers. And you had a nice long NFL career. Tom certainly had a double-digit NFL career. And, you know, you're still big on that. It's important, and you think it would help guys get through some of the burdens of what's coming.
Well, I think it's more important to do it probably as you get older, more so when you're younger. You're out there on the field, you're running around, anything. You're capable of doing anything. As you get older and father time starts to creep up, you do have to stay moving. You got to keep yourself fit and going.
That's true. I still enjoy going out, and I go boxing a couple days a week, and you know, I work out with, you know, Anthony Adams. He's around.
Jason
McKee is boxing. Yes, sir.
Did I just hear you say Anthony Adams works out?
No doubt about it. Yeah, he gets it. He can do
Anthony,
it.
Anthony,
yeah.
I'm just kidding, my friend. We're boys, right? We're good. We're good. Double A in the gym. That I got to see right now.
Yeah, guys are staying fit, staying active, and it's good to still be around the guys and have that rapport with them.
You know what I like about it is that you guys are all still here, and Tom loves that ex-Bears are in the area.
I do. I asked, that's the first thing I said, are you going to stay in the area? Because you have such a well-respected background of what you're able to achieve and how you're able to succeed. And then you go back to school and make sure you continue the education process. That's what you want in your community. And that's why the Chicago people embrace the guys that do stay in their area.
Yeah, we've enjoyed being here, my family. Chicago has been amazing to us, and we love the area. So, I mean, my kids are in local schools here, and, you know, you can catch me at, you know, Vernon Hills games and, you know, going to the local Mariano's around the corner. So, I mean, I love being around, and I love the city of Chicago.
I've seen some pictures on social media, too, when you guys get together, and it's like you, Johnny Knox, McKee, Tillman, Urlacher, all these guys. Is it almost like you never were apart? It seems like you guys, when you get right back together.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things when you've spent that much time around guys and been in the game of football where you put in a lot of hours and blood, sweat, and tears. And, you know, it just doesn't end after you're done playing football. And it's a brotherhood and it's a lifetime friendship.
You know, from a football X's and O's standpoint and size, weight, speed, technique, and so forth, when you came out of Texas, you were a fourth-round pick. I'm sure you wished you were a much higher pick and probably went into it with a little bit of chip. Most guys think that way.
Right.
You know, immediate starter, 20 career interceptions. You know, you clearly had ball skills, but you were kind of the rare corner that had that man-to-man ability in the cover two. Do you feel that was an underrated aspect of your game, is your ability to take guys one-on-one? Because, you know, zone defense, it usually points to the idea that, hey, these guys aren't great in man-to-man coverage, but you were.
Yeah, I think just being comfortable and being able to get enough reps doing it. You can't turn to a man-to-man corner overnight. I think you have to be comfortable. When it's third and two, there's only a few calls that, you know, defensive coordinators usually call when you're playing corner, and they're going to ask you to play man-to-man. And you have to be comfortable doing that and being able to get off the field. And I think that's an important aspect of defense. They always stressed that being able to win on third downs and, you know, get off the field and give the ball back to your offense is one of the big keys to the game. So that was always huge for us.
Playing a little wide receiver in high school, you think you had the ability, or did they make the right choice when they put you to defense?
I think they made the right choice. When I was there at UT, they recruited a guy named Roy Williams out of Odessa Permian. And I was like, if he's playing wide receiver, I'll go play corner. So, yeah, really good, talented guys. And, you know, he went on to have a great career also.
Yeah, a lot of those Texas guys. And you were from Texarkana.
That's correct.
Did you guys play at all?
No, we didn't play.
Different parts of the state?
Yep.
You know, the other thing is most people are not going to – you know, he went to a Pro Bowl in 2005. So that tandem of you and Charles, at your height, that was one of the better cornerback tandems the Bears have had.
Yeah, Charles is one of the all-time great Chicago Bear corners and one of the best people I've been around. Just the influence that he's had on myself and other defensive backs that I've had a chance to see him work on and off the field has just been amazing. But I feel like I'm a product of, you know, Tommy Harris and a lot of those guys. Mike Brown, I was here. Just veteran leadership, Jerry Azuma. You know, Olin Cruz, just seeing those guys kind of roaming around was a big influence on our team and our makeup as, you know, our identity of what we wanted to be ultimately.
When you mention all the names, that was a heck of a defense.
I know, right.
I mean, you keep coming. I mean, right. There's great players on that defense.
A lot of influential people in the locker room, too, because when you talk about Olin, you talk about Big Cat Williams, and you talk about the other guys on the team, it was a really good group of guys that they were able to put together here and stick together for a long time. And then you see, you know, not only in the Pro Bowl, but making All-Pro. And I think that's a great thing for you, is because that's really respect from your peers when you can get into the All-Pro market.
Yeah, that's what you want, is just to be respected around the league from coaches and your peers. When they put on the tape, it means you're putting good stuff out there, and people respect your game.
You know, when you watch the Bears now, you're looking at it from a completely different lens, through a different lens. So does your blood get up? I mean, do you yell at the television when you're at the game? Are you truly a fan of Chicago Bears football? And what are you seeing right now with this new defense?
I definitely am. And I'm excited about the direction that the team is going, especially the defensive side. I see these guys growing with each week. I think they're in different situations to where they have to be able to step up and make plays to be able to win the ball game. So you see a young team growing. You see Purnell, he's been around some guys that know how to win. You know, coming from Baltimore with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and a lot of those guys, a lot of team building things, and I'm seeing that translate right now into just confidence for the defense, and it's going to ultimately pay off in wins.
Any advice for these fellas on how to deal with Calvin Johnson? I mean, you were with Detroit too, so you practiced against the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's really tough. Still.
It's really tough. He's done that to a lot of corners around the league for a long time, so. You know, he's been able to get his yards and make his plays, and, you know, he's a talented guy.
Those battles with Charles Tillman and Calvin Johnson were epic, though, some of those. I mean, what was Charles's mentality going into some of those games?
I mean, Charles was just fearless. And, I mean, it goes back to him competing as, I want to say, a rookie against Randy Moss in one of those great plays in the end zone, to be able to go out and compete. And it's a mentality, I feel like, that, you know, Charles going out and playing man-to-man, was something that was important to both of us when we went out there. Sure, we could play cover two, we could drop in space, but, you know, on third downs to be able to get off the field, that was always big for us.
Being around the college game and the pro game recently, do they talk about the peanut punch? Or they talk, you know, Charles left a footprint in the NFL about that's going to be taught, and even have videotapes of the, you know, what he's been able to do. Is it talked about on the different levels?
Yeah, and even especially on the college level, or even with other teams that I've spent time with, I can't go anywhere without guys asking, how did he do it? What's the technique to it? And I think it was just, you know, I just tell them it was one thing that was emphasized as a total defense for us, but I think Charles kind of took it, you know, to the next level with some of the extra work that he put in.
It's a reaction as much as it is a technique. You have to have superior instincts to know how the flow of your opponent is going to end up to get in that, to pre-think that spot.
Yeah. He has amazing hand-eye coordination too, Charles Tillman, so I think that's a big factor too.
Yeah, he punched right on it. Right. And I mean, whether he goes on top or underneath, it's one of those things you see him do it in practice and, you know, training camp and wearing shorts and shells, and you still see Matt Forte holding the ball with two arms because, you know,
Peanut
can get
it out. Kids at every level now are doing it. I watch high school games, college games, and other NFL games around the league, and guys are conscious about doing
it. I saw a guy the other day. I don't know who it was, but he not only took one shot at it. He was trying to – he took several shots at it, and he couldn't quite pry it loose. All right, we hit the bye week, so let's give a quick synopsis of what we've seen in the first six games of this season. Nathan, from your perspective, and we'll jump in with you here, but, you know, I see a team that fights. And at this point, as they begin to develop under this coaching staff and the new pieces keep coming in, which will happen throughout the course of this season, you know, I just want to continue to see that fight, because you're going to win games with that fight. You will.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, going into the season, the first 3 weeks of the year, we're going to be against playoff teams, and we knew those games were going to be tough, but I really like the fight in this team and the direction that it's going right now.
I like the preparedness, because I don't care who's not available, because the injury report is so lengthy. No matter who they put in the game, they've been mentally ready and physically up to the challenge, and that's what is encouraging to me. The whole team does have a resiliency about it, But the next man up attitude and being prepared when your opportunity presents itself, I like that.
I like the way Jay Cutler's playing. I know, like, there's a lot of criticism out there, but the guy's playing at a top level right now and really is probably one of the main reasons the Bears won those back-to-back games there. Really put him in position.
And kept him 20, in the Detroit
with 21 seconds left, drove him the length of the field to get the tying field going.
I keep using the word calm. He's calm back there, even when even under pressure, and his numbers under pressure in the last three games are outstanding. You've seen him working in and around the pocket, setting a new pocket just because of his ability to get, you know, back and forth in there despite the pressure.
That's a great point, because I think he buys time in the pocket and escapes from some guys. The throw that he made down the field against Detroit was amazing, where he escaped from pressure, rolled to his left, and just heaved it. I don't think he gets enough credit for his escapability.
Well, it's the convincing message that Adam Gase, the convincing message that he's getting out there on a weekly basis to make sure that the quarterback is confident in the game plan, confident in the play calls, and knows the structure of the offense well enough to see where guys are going to be.
Yeah, I'm excited to see them get some guys back. Alshon, Eddie Royal, those guys are going to be explosive for Jay and gives them some more weapons to be able to go out there and make good decisions with the ball. And those guys are creating space, too. And even when Alshon didn't have a lot of the space, he still came down with a touchdown pass this past week. Yeah. So it was great.
Outstanding. And, you know, all you need to do is just look at the quote from Jim Caldwell, the Lions coach. We had difficulty with Jay Cutler. So hopefully more coaches will say the same thing in weeks to come. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this week's roundtable. Thanks so much to Nathan Vasher, the interceptor, who had a great interception, we might add, in the NFC Championship game that sent the Bears to the Super Bowl back in that 2006 season, intercepting Drew Brees. I think he had a forced fumble in that game as well. So he was always around the ball. We loved watching him play. Always excitement. And then Larry Mayer, the senior writer for ChicagoBears.com. I know you think there's a joke coming in there. I'm going to leave this nice right the bye week, Larry.
We're friends, aren't we?
Yes. Have a great bye week,
same
Larry.
Here, Jeff.
Tom, Jeff. Have a great bye week, everybody. We'll talk to you next time here on ChicagoBears.com.